don't know, kind of makes you want to roar or something. I don't know. Hey, we're thankful for this great crowd. Thank you for being with us. We've got guests among us. We're honored that you've come to be with us. Maybe this is your first time to even be in a worship service that is conducted by the churches of Christ. Maybe you see things, you hear things, we do things that you think is a little bit different. I never seen anything done like that. Hey, it's all right. If you find something that you wonder about, why don't you ask us about it? Don't go ask someone else. Just stop us and ask us, and we'll kindly tell you and explain to you why we do what we do. We want you to feel comfortable. We want you to feel at home, and we want you to come back to worship with us every time that you have an opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities for us this week to do good, and I want you to be mindful of them, and there'll be some of them announced to you again at the end of our services. But of course, the funeral service for Taylor Reeves is tomorrow. I think it's 11 o'clock, isn't it? 11 o'clock at the Cypress Valley Cemetery. And then there'll be a meal served here for the family here at our building after that service. So you're going to be asked to help us fill in with that meal, I guess, and however that's done. I appreciate those who have taken charge of that, and we want to encourage you to help out any way we can. Continue to pray for that family and do all the good you can with them. I want to congratulate Jade Smith. Jade handed a muscle and shovel book to a gentleman, and that gentleman studied that book, didn't agree with everything, but his son took the book and studied it. And yesterday morning, his son was baptized into Christ. They live over in the BB area. His name is Seth Proper. Where's Jade? Proper's got an S on the end of it, doesn't it? Prope with a P. Whatever. God knows the name. But you pray for that that young man as he begins his walk with the Lord. And continue to do good. It may just be handing out one of those books. Who knows? Just might be handing out one of those muscle and shovel books that would help someone. But you got opportunities this week to do a lot of good things. I want you to think with me this morning about doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. I'll tell you where this came from. On Sunday evenings for the past several months, we have been just doing a survey of the Old Testament books. How many of you know what's in every book of the Old Testament? We've just been doing a survey of that. Hey, we ought to know what's in those books, at least in a general way. And that's basically all the time that we've had, is just do a general survey. If you read this book, this is what you're going to find in it. And here's how it fits in to the big picture, and trying to make that picture as small enough, and the Bible small enough, that we can get our head around it, that we can get a hold of it. In the course of that and looking at it, we looked at these books of history. We looked at, I'm just going to begin in Judges with the book I want to begin even in Joshua, at the end of Joshua. The land of Canaan has basically been conquered. They've not done everything they ought to do, but they've basically been conquered, and Joshua's become an old man, and he's about to die. And he challenges the children of Israel to serve God, to choose to do the right thing. And they say they will. Joshua kind of comes at them and says, oh, you won't do that. They said, yes, we will. And you know what? They did it. They did it. That generation did the right thing. But we get into Judges chapter 1. Joshua's dead. Now God raises up judges to help the people along in their walk with him and their life with him. In Judges chapter 2 and in verse number 10, it says, but another generation arose which knew not the Lord. And they chose to do the wrong thing. In fact, just walk through your Bible with me. You can find this. This is Judges. I'm going to begin in Judges chapter 2. And I'll just kind of show you what I'm talking about. And then when we draw some things out of it, we'll be dismissed. Judges chapter 2, verse number 11. In verse number 10, it's where it talks about that other generation, that another generation that rose up that they didn't know the Lord. Verse number 11 says, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They did evil. They chose not to do right. They forsook the God of their fathers, and they brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods and the gods of the people that were round about them. They bowed themselves unto them, provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. They chose not to do right. They chose to serve the gods of the people who were round about them. They chose not to do right. In chapter 3, and in verse number 12, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel." Have you ever just stopped to think about how many times people chose not to do the right thing and how it affected everyone else? How it affected their nation? How when a leader decides he's not going to do the, he or she's not going to do the right thing, choose to do the wrong thing, and how that individual's decisions affect so many other people. Here's the case of it here. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel because they chose to do the wrong thing. Look at chapter 3, verse number 12. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord." Their decision affected everything. The decision they made affected so many things. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Cana." Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. Chapter 6, verse number 1. "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. All because of a decision that was made. They could have chosen to do the right thing, but they chose to do the wrong thing. And because of that decision-making process and however they come to determine that, all kinds of things were affected. Think about how many times in your own life, I'm just thinking about mine. How many times in my life when I was confronted with the situation, I could choose to do the wrong thing and I could choose to do the right thing. How many times I chose to do the wrong thing and it turned out right? How about you? Can you think of one time in your life when you chose to do the wrong thing and it turned out right? You didn't do it. It's never going to turn out right. Never. Never. You don't choose to do wrong and expect it to turn out right. But we do it all the time, don't we? We choose to do the wrong thing. We think, this is the best thing. Man, I choose to do the wrong. This is going to be the best thing for me. It's going to be the best thing for my family. It's going to be the best thing for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews. All those people around me. Never one time can I think of that I chose to do the wrong thing and it turned out right. It turned out to be the best decision I made. Now, there were times when I chose to do the right thing, even when I knew this is going to be tough. This is going to be difficult. But I'm going to do the right thing here. You know what? I cannot think of one time when I made that decision. Now, I'm not going to tell you it wasn't tough, and I'm not going to tell you it wasn't difficult, but it always turned out right. The point I'm making here is, where do we get the idea we can choose to do wrong, choose to do wrong, choose to do wrong, choose to do wrong, and somehow it's going to turn out right? You're never going to find that. In all the Word of God, you're never going to find that. 26 times, if I counted correctly, 26 times in the book of Judges, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil They chose to do the wrong thing in the sight of the Lord. How many times did it turn out right for them? Not a one. Not a one. Hey, that's just Judges. Look with me over in the Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm not gonna read all of these to you. In 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse number 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh and an abomination of Moab, the abomination of Moab in the hills that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Amnon. This is Solomon doing this now. This is Solomon doing this. He's not doing right. He's not making the right decisions. He's the wisest man, as Thomas pointed out, the wisest man we know of that lived. He asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. But he didn't choose right here. He chose to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at what he did. He built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. This is the problem the Moabites had. You know, you'd think a wise man Solomon looked at that and say, hey, how'd that turn out for Moab? And say, hey, I don't want to go there. But he didn't. The very thing that was an abomination to the Moabites, he does. He builds a high place for Chemosh in the hill that was before Jerusalem. He built one for Molech. Y'all know about Molech? Molech was a big, was a god. He was in the form of a human. He had a big round belly and the belly was hollow. And he sat kind of squat-legged. And he had his arms extended. And they'd come and they'd put their babies on the hands of that god. And there was a fire burning continuously in the belly of that idol god. And those kids would just wiggle around and fall off as a sacrifice to Molech. Who's doing this? Solomon. Ask Solomon, how'd that turn out for you? How'd that kind of decision turn out for you? You think Solomon's going to say, hey, at that moment in time, I thought that was going to be the best thing. I knew it was the wrong decision, but hey, I thought it was going to turn out all right. Ask Solomon, how'd that turn out for you guys? Just do the right thing. Look, I'm not through. Look at verse number 8. It says, and likewise did he for all his strange wives which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Why did he do this? Because he had married women that he shouldn't have ever married. And they influenced him to make these bad decisions. You say, well, I tell these girls all the time, I tell these girls, hey, be careful who you date. Because I know something. You ain't going to marry someone you don't date. You're going to marry someone you date. You date the wrong guy, you could easily end up married to the right guy, right? Oh, it's going to turn out right. It's going to turn out right. Listen, girls, let me give you some advice. The first date you go out with him, just talk about Jesus the whole time. You say, oh, he might not ask me out again. Then you don't need him anyway. Amen? Come on, parents, help me out here. Then you don't need him anyway. You're looking for a man that's going to help get you to heaven, not take you the other way. And I give the same advice to these boys. And these boys say, come on, David. Listen, you go ahead. You make the wrong decision. You're going to get just what you sowed. This is a principle, folks. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. Yeah, you just go ahead. You go ahead. You make that poor decision. If you sow a poor decision, you're going to reap all the fruit of that poor decision. But you make the right decision. You choose to do right. I may never get married. I may never get married, but I refuse to marry the wrong one. Now you make that kind of decision. There's a lot worse things, folks, than being single. There's a lot worse things than being single. Like being married to the wrong one. Here's Solomon. He's the example of that. He made wrong decisions. He chose not to do what was right. Look in chapter 13 of 1 Kings, verse 33. Chapter 13, verse 30. First Kings 13, verse 33. After this, now this is the king of Israel. The kingdom divides after Solomon. I wonder how those decisions turned out for him, Solomon. How did it turn out for the nation? You chose to do the wrong thing instead of choosing to do the right thing. How'd that turn out for you? How'd that work out for you? It divides after Solomon. 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, Israel and Judah. Let's talk about Israel first. Here's Israel. And this thing, Jeroboam, who's the king of Israel, the northern tribes, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but he made again the lowest of all of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated them, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became a sin. There's Jeroboam. He took the lowest. Anybody that wanted to be a priest, you want to be a priest? Be a priest. And not only you, I'll be a priest. Who's the priesthood limited to? What lineage? Lineage of Aaron, the house of Levi, of the lineage of Aaron. Gotta be a Levite. You think Jeroboam's a Levite? No. And I'll be a priest too. Ask Jeroboam how that turned out for Israel. They went off into Assyrian captivity, never to return. Poor decision making. Hey, how about Judah? Judah lasted a while longer, about 150 years longer. How about Judah? Look over in chapter 14, verse number 22. Let's talk about Judah. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed above all of that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abomination of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. There were Sodomites in the land. They become like the people that lived around them. Some of them were Sodomites. What are they becoming? Well, let's be like them. They become Sodomites. They do that. Look in chapter 16, verse number 30. Chapter 16, verse 30. And Ahab, y'all remember this guy, don't you? And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up, listen to this now, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. This is the king doing this, the king of Israel. Poor decision making. And it goes for Israel, that went for Judah. But you know what? Once in a while, someone would pop up and say, hey, everyone else might have been doing evil in the sight of the Lord. They may have been choosing to do the wrong thing. I choose to do the right thing. Let me show you a couple. 2 Kings this time. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 2. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Here's a man been surrounded by people who chose to do the wrong thing, thinking this is what's best, this is going to turn out right. Making the wrong decisions, it's going to turn out right. It never turned out right. And here comes a man who says, you know what, everybody else, I choose to do the right thing. He's not the only one. Look with me, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to begin in verse number 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 31. Then we're going to get into this. We can look at tons of these folks. We can look at tons of them. But once in a while, somebody will pop up and say, hey, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I choose to do the right thing. And every time they did, guess how things began to turn out? They began to turn out right. Shock, shock. Surprise, surprise. Whatever a man sows, that's what a man can expect to reap. If he sows to wrong, he's going to get wrong, isn't he? If he sows to right, he expects to get right. It's just a principle. It's just a principle. I'm beginning in verse number 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've just given y'all time to get there. Here we go. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. That's a young man, isn't it? 35. He's 35 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah. She's the daughter of Zilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He just showed, hey, I'm going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. It was the same process that all those others had gone through. Hey, here we are, we're confronted with a situation. A decision needs to be made. I can decide to do right, I can decide to do wrong. They chose to make the decision to do wrong. It's the same process. He goes through the same thing. He says, I'm going to do right. Just choose to do right. One more. Since we're real close here, chapter 24. I'm going to begin in verse number 1 on this one as well. Chapter 24. Since we're this close. Once in a while, someone will pop up and say, you know what? I'm going to do right. I don't care what others are doing. I'm going to make a decision to do what's right. 24, verse number 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Here's that same guy again, recorded for us again. Here's the point I want to make to you. You read all these other guys and then maybe get two verses. He lived, he died. He lived, he did evil, he died. He lived, he did evil, he died. But when you read of these guys, they get chapters and chapters about them. Why? Because they chose to do what was right. Hey, I know what you're thinking, so let me answer some questions for you. Well, what has that to do with me? Why are you telling me this? I'm not a king. I'm not a ruler. Listen, you're a ruler over something or someone. It may only be you. But you're ruling over something or you're ruling over something. You've got influence. It may just be over you. You do not live in a vacuum. You say, well, I'll do what I want to. I'll make decisions for me and I'll not have any influence on anyone else. Get real. Get real. If you're a father, you got influence. You got influence over other people. Think about the poor decisions, the bad decisions, the evil choices that we as fathers make. And we can even justify them in our minds, but that's what's best in this system. Think about the evil decisions that we make that affect our children, our grandchildren, and our great grandchildren, generations down the line. If you're a mother, you're not living in a vacuum. You know that. You're not living in a vacuum. You've got influence. You've got influence, and the decisions you make affect other people. They affect those folks. They do that. If you're a grandfather, you're a grandmother, a grandfather, God, come on, you know you don't live in a vacuum. You don't live in a vacuum. Those kids think you walk 2 feet off the ground and wear a halo. They do. Those boys want to be just like you, Granddaddy. They want to be just like you. But I'm not influencing anybody. Get real. You know you are. You know you are. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself, Romans 14:7. No one does. We all have influence on someone else. And think, folks, think. The impact a right decision that I can make even today will affect and influence not just my family, but so many others. But also think, folks, how a decision to do what's not right affects my family and extended family and just people. Folks, if you're going to live like this, if you're going to choose to make wrong decisions when you could make the right decision, well, it'd be tough. Yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be difficult, but you know what? It's right. It's the right thing to do. When are we going to start doing the right thing? It's the right thing to do. But if you're going to choose to do the wrong thing, you're going to nullify any opportunity that you have to influence someone for Jesus Christ. You can talk about God. You can talk about Jesus. You can talk about the church. You can talk about salvation. And it's going to go in their ear and out the other because you ain't living it and they know it. If you want them to listen, then you're going to have to be a person of character enough to make the right decision, to do the right thing. No matter what, do the right thing. Okay, so what is it? Why are you telling me this? I'm not a kid. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have influence. Your decisions face others. Well, why should I? Here's the second question. Well, why should I even worry about whether or not I'm making the right decisions, consistently making the right decisions in my life or not? Why should that bother me? Why should I even be thinking about this? Hey, let me show you these people. Before these judges came on the scene, remember there was Joshua that led them, right? But before they came on the scene, before these judges and before these kings came on the scene, listen to what God told them. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6. I hope you brought a Bible and I hope you're going to read it with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There it is. Chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 1. I'm just going to read it for you. This is the very people that they're fixing to go into that land. They're going to be governed first by Joshua, then by the judges. They're going to ask for a king, and they're given a king, and then by the kings. Here's what he says to them. Before they ever went in. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it. that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Look at 30. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. Where did we get the idea that we can choose to do evil and everything's going to turn out well? Choose to do right, so that it may be well with thee, and that you might increase. And your Lord God, your fathers, promised thee a land and flows with milk and honey. He talks about teaching this to their children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And all these words and commands this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. To your children. Why teach them to your children? Because if you don't, no one else is going to. Listen to me, Christians. You really think the world's going to tell them to make the right decisions? Do you really think the world is going to influence them toward right? If we don't tell them, if we don't encourage them, hey, be young people. Young people, be young people who decide to do what's right. Is it going to be tough sometimes? Yes, it is. But if you do what's right, you can expect things to turn out right. If you do what's wrong, you've got no right to expect it to turn out right. So teach it to your children. Teach it to your children. Now, I know that there are people out there, there are a lot of preachers out there who tell you, you do what's right, boy, you're going to be wealthy, healthy. Oh, everything's going to be just great. And they base it on these next few verses. But folks, I got Bible that tells me that's not always true. When you do what's right, that doesn't mean everything's always, you're going to be a millionaire. That doesn't mean everything. Hey, listen, I read about men like the Apostle Paul who did the right thing, got his head cut off. How about you? I read about a man by the name of John who got thrown in the cesspool of an isle called Patmos. And he did the right thing, but he waded waist deep in the sewage of his culture. I don't know, folks. That doesn't teach me that, hey, you do the right thing, everything's just going to be dandy with you. But I'll tell you what. Paul said, I'm about to lose my head. Time my departure is at hand. That's another way of putting it. Isn't it? But a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. I can expect it to turn out right. Why? Because I've made the right decisions. I fought that good fight. I've kept that faith. I finished that course. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. John can do the same thing. John can do the same thing. And so can others. But look, I'm just going to skip down here. Verse number 11. Down toward the end. I'm going to give you great and goodly cities, which you built not. Houses full of good things, which you filled not. And wells dug, which you diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when you've eaten and been full, then beware lest you forget the Lord. Folks, if that's not where we're living, I'm not standing here. We're part of a congregation. We're part of a congregation that other men and women had the opportunity to just get things started right here in this location. Just get things started. We had nothing to do with it. We had absolutely nothing to do with it. We're living in cities that someone else built. We're drinking from wells that someone else dug. Because they made right decisions. They did things. They did those things. Hey, and here we are. We stand here and we get to partake of all of that. And we think, hey, now I can make, I don't have to live. I don't have to make right decisions. I don't have to be responsible for that. Think again. One generation is all it took, folks. One generation. That's all it took. And there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. You got to do it. If you look over in verse number 12, down in verse number 18, he says, at the end of this, he says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. That's what it's about. Don't forget to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. That's the reason that it matters. But I'm tired of doing the right thing. And so many of us are like, I'm tired of doing the right thing. Look, so-and-so over there, they're not doing the right thing, and it looks like they're... Go ask them how it's working out for them. Go ask them how that's working out for them. They're not doing the right thing. Sit down, if they'll be honest with you, how's that working out for them? You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. Well, I'm tired. I'm tired of doing the right thing. I got passages for you then. I got two. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Let us not therefore grow weary in well-doing. Why? Because we'll reap if we faint not. We'll reap if we don't faint. Don't go over there. Don't start that stuff. Don't worry about what that other guy's doing so much. You do what's right. I'm talking to you. You make the right decision. You do what's right. You'll reap. You'll reap if you do that. And don't quit. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, and ye, brethren, be not weary in doing good. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. Here's someone else. I'm going to tell you, David. I can't afford to do the right thing. I got news for you. You can't afford not to do the right thing. You can't afford not to do the right thing. You got influence on others. Daddies and mamas, how long you got them? It's a blip on the screen, isn't it? It's a blip on the screen. And then you're lucky if they come see you. You got to run the wheels off of your car, don't you? I'm just telling the truth. If you're going to see them, you've got to run the wheels off of your car. How long you got them? How long you got them? Oh, just a short time. Just a short time. Hey, what kind of influence you going to leave them? The influence that says, hey, we're going to do the right thing. No matter what, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to make the right decision. Or are they going to see a daddy and a mama who are going to say, hey, you know, depending on the situation, you may want to do right. You probably want to. But, hey, there may be some situations where you just don't want to do the right thing. That may not be what's best. You don't want to leave that kind of legacy, do you? You don't want to do that. You don't want to make those kind of choices and do those kind of things. You can't afford not to do good. You can't afford not to do what's right. You want to do that. Hey, and it's about maintenance. For some of us, it begins right here on this Lord's Day. It does. It begins right here on this Lord's Day. There's going to be a service again here this evening at 5 o'clock. And I want to ask you, what's the right thing to do? I want to ask you, what's the right thing to do? You say, I can't afford to. Man, I got a family to feed. Listen, I'll tell you what. You do the right thing, and if your family gets hungry, we'll feed them. Amen? We'll feed you. But you do the right thing. You make the right choice. Do the right thing. And for some of us, the right thing is to make a decision even here tonight, even here this evening. See, it's about maintenance. Hey, Gary, is that a Model T? You get Model A? Model A, I was looking those things up. If I remember right, Model A, Henry Ford, made somewhere around 70,000 of those things. 70,000 of them. How many think's probably still in existence today? Very few. The ones that are still in existence, what's the key to them still being in existence? Maintenance. You don't maintain it, it'll rust away on you, won't it? It'll rust away on you. What makes you think your spiritual life is not the same? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Hey, that's just about maintenance. That's about maintenance. That's about getting together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and being encouraged by them and you encouraging them. It's just about maintenance. And if you're not going to maintain your spiritual life any better than that, don't expect it to turn out good for you. Where did you get that idea? What teacher told you that? What verse in the Bible did you read that gives you the indication that if you're not going to do anything toward maintenance of your spiritual well-being, you're going to turn out okay? You're not going to find it. Let this preacher tell you like it is. You're not going to find it, and it's not going to turn out well for you, and it's not going to turn out well for your kids, and it's not going to turn out well for your grandkids and your great-grandkids. It's not going to turn out well for you. You take those kids out of Bible class, oh, it's not needed. Okay. But let this preacher tell you, that's not going to turn out good. That's not going to turn out right. Well, we're going to go to the lake. Well, we're going to go to the beach. Well, we're going to do this. Well, we're going to do that. Okay. But don't expect it to turn out well. It somehow, when I realize that I can't make anyone do anything, just tell them like it is, and it's up to them. Things got a whole lot easier for me. Hey, I'm just telling you. You can't make wrong decisions and expect everything to turn out good. That's just not going to happen. Never, ever not going to happen. Not going to happen. Well, I don't have the time to do the right thing. Listen, you don't have the time not to do the right thing. You realize you're just a blip on the screen? You're just a blip on the screen. If you don't believe me, who in here can name their great-grandfather? Who can name their great-great-grandfather? That's what I'm talking about. That day's coming, and it's coming real soon. Coming real soon. Who can tell me who was the preacher here before David Riley? You can't even remember that dude. All the good work that he did, you can't remember. The day's coming real quick. Coming real quick. There's going to be somebody else standing in this pulpit. And they say, who was the preacher before him? Y'all remember that? I can't remember what that guy's name is. You know why? Because I'm just a blip on the screen, and my blip is just that. It's just a blip. I hadn't got time not to do the right thing. My life is short, and so is yours. We got to make the right decisions. I'll finish with this one. Well, David, the truth is, I'm just tired. I'm just tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Just keep, continue. Do the right thing. Can you imagine for just a moment, and we're through. Imagine Peter and John are brought before a Sanhedrin. Jesus has been crucified, raised from the dead. Pentecost has occurred. The church is established. They're brought before the Sanhedrin. And they're told, don't speak another word. Not another word. We're not telling you don't speak another word, but don't speak another word in the name of that Jesus fellow. What if they had made the wrong decision right there? What if they'd have said, okay, well, if we decide to do the right thing here, Ben, that's going to cause us trouble. We're probably going to get beaten. We're going to get thrown into prison. We may even get killed. Okay. Just suppose they'd made the wrong decision. Where would you be? Where would I be? So if you're sitting there this morning thinking, it really doesn't matter whether I make the right decision or the wrong decision, you think again. You think again and do the right thing. That's our plea. Right, Thomas? That's our plea to you. Your leaders are begging you. They're pleading with you. Do the right thing. Starting right now. Starting right now. Do the right thing. Maybe, for some of you, it's the decision to become a Christian even. You've been putting it off. You've been, making the wrong decision for whatever reason, doing the wrong, listening to someone else. it's time to do the right thing. Become a Christian today. We'll help you with that. Maybe you're here, you are a Christian. But if you just slowed down. Slowed down, sat down, let kind of things kind of settle around you for just a minute and take inventory of your life. Take inventory of your life. Would my life be a life of making the right decisions? I'm talking generally, basically, making the right decisions, right decisions, right decisions, right decisions. Or I've been settling on wrong decisions, not making the right decision, not making the right decision, not making the right decision. Now, I thought all that was going to turn out right, but I know better now. It's not going to turn out right. It's always going to turn out wrong. Always. If you're a Christian and that's the way you've been living your life, you need to repent. You need to ask God's forgiveness. And maybe you need us to pray with you and for you. And let us know how we might help you to be stronger. We're ready to do that too. You stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ. It's not mine. It's Him that's saying to you, do what's right. I used to tell people, I used to tell my kids, they'd get all worried about me and stuff. And they'd say, but Daddy, people going to get mad at you. Hey, how many of you get a bill in the mail that you don't think you owe? And you get mad about it? Who do you get mad at, the mail carrier or the person that sent the mail? I'm just a mail carrier, folks. I'm just delivering the mail. Take it up with God. Take it up with Him. It's Jesus' invitation to you. You come. It's together we stand and as we sing.